Welcome to Meet Me at the Diner with your host, Aunt Ella. Our special guest today is Les Walker, retired president of Piedmont Technical College. Here is your host, live from Sharp Fasces Gallery, Aunt Ella.
Oh, that's right. We are here at Sharp Fasces Gallery, and I am very, very privileged to have Dr. Les Walters here with us today. You were an icon out there at Piedmont Tech. In fact, you really brought Piedmont Tech into the world. You brought tech schools into a big place in our state. And how have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing great.
And it sure is good to have you here today. It's been a how long have you been retired now?
3 years.
I think it's been 3 years since you've been here then.
I think you're right. I was here just before I retired, but it's good to see you again today.
It is very good to see you, Les. And, you just came back from a very interesting trip. You went to Kentucky.
I really did. I got in last evening, and, it's one of the joys of working in the technical college system, and especially as president, is that you have the opportunity to work with some very talented people. And seven of my former vice presidents now are working as presidents of a two-year college somewhere across the country. And Dr. Jim Klauber, who just completed his doctorate, he had a Doctor of Laws degree, but he decided since he had changed from the legal profession into education that he needed to complete his PhD in higher education administration, which he did. And once he had completed that degree, he offered for a job in Kentucky at Owensburg Community and Technical College and became the president. And yesterday, he was inaugurated as the sixth president of that institution.
And I understand you introduced him.
Yes. In fact, the fact that I brought him into the field of education, and he changed from the practicing law to education, he felt that it would be appropriate for me to present him to the college community in Owensboro, and I had the opportunity to do that.
And you were telling us a very progressive community up there in Owensburg, Kentucky.
I had never been there, didn't know much about it, but it is a beautiful community. The county has about 100,000 people. The city has about 50,000 right on the Ohio River, doing a lot of shipping on down through the New Orleans area, a lot of farming out in the surrounding areas, loading grain on the barges and so forth, I guess to go to many places across the globe. But I was really impressed how progressive the community was.
Wow, that is terrific. And I know that he's going to be missed in our Greenwood area, but kudos to him to have gone out in the world.
Well, the community there has really accepted him well, and they are absolutely thrilled. I told them that if they decided they'd like for us in South Carolina to have him back, we would take him. But they said, not on your life. We like him here, so we're going to keep him here at Owensboro.
Well, that is terrific. So a nice story here to lead in with. You, of course, have you started out in a different field and ended up in the technical school field. How did that all start? For those that don't know you, how did that start?
Well, it is kind of an interesting story, I think. I graduated Clemson in chemical engineering, and my goal was to work in research. And I got a terrific job as the executive assistant to the director of research with a company in LaGrange, Georgia. And working there, I just absolutely loved my job. I couldn't wait to get there in the morning, and we were working on some really great projects, and just thrilled with the responsibility I had. But I got up one morning, went into work as usual, and I noticed the people there had somewhat long faces, and I learned that Dr. Hernstadt, who was the director of research that I worked with, had passed away, had a massive heart attack, and died. Well, the process continued in terms of getting a new director of research in, and the new guy was 180 degrees different from Dr. Hernstadt that I enjoyed so much. And he was very autocratic, dictatorial, very jealous of anything that Hernstadt had done. The fact that I was an assistant for Hernstadt
Wasn't in your best interest?
I was not on this team. And I mentioned to my wife, this is no longer fun. I've got to find something else. But when you work in research, you are required to sign the confidentiality agreements and non-compete agreements and so forth. So I had an attorney look at the agreements I had signed. And the attorney said, well, you know, they can't hold you in bondage, but you can't work for any competitor of this company for at least 2 years. And I thought, what in the world will I do for 2 years? And the thought was, then come back into industry or work in research, go somewhere like that. And I saw a little ad in the Greenville News. My wife was from that area, and we were visiting her parents. And I said, a new system of education is being put in place. The first of its kind will be in Greenville, needing an engineer to teach math, science, physics, chemistry. And I thought, hey, I can do that. And so I applied. I got the job. And the whole idea was to stay there 2 years and then go back into research. And I just loved teaching and enjoyed it so much that I continued that for several years. And then I was offered a job in administration. And the understanding was that if at the end of the year, if I wanted to go back to my teaching job, I could return. But I found that administration could be enjoyable as well. So,
what year was that now?
That was in 1968. And so I'd been out of college 6 years at that point, and I was still in my 20s. But since the Greenville Technical College, and I was there from the day the first student came to Greenville Tech, the first student of the technical college system. In my 20s, I didn't have a lot of experience in technical education, but I had more than anyone else because I was the first
brand
one.
Brand new idea.
I was one of the first six people employed by Greenville Technical College. So the leadership or the board here in Greenwood needed someone to head Piedmont Technical College, and they invited me to apply, which I did, and I was selected, and I found a home here in Greenwood, and I was here for almost 40 years in the job as president of the college and completed about 46 years within the technical education system.
Now, Lex, I mean, I can remember you telling stories about if a sign needed to be put up front, out in front of the college, you were out there banging the poles in to put it up. I mean, you did everything. I mean, we can't even today. That school, I don't know, how many students? Do you have any idea how many?
Over 6,500.
And how many students were there when you went there?
Well, it was kind of interesting. When I came in, we had about 200 during the day and about 100 in the evening. And you're right, we had a very limited faculty, and everyone did everything. Where now they have a big bookstore with staff devoted to that. Well, that just came to whoever was available to sell books that day. So
okay,
we all did right. We all did everything, but that's what it took. And you know, the people enjoyed it. They enjoyed each other. They felt very strongly about the mission of the college and that we were serving students. We were helping improve the lives of students, and we did whatever it took so that the student could be successful.
Well, that's right. Now the gentleman that you went to work for at Greenville Tech, he retired, didn't he, about the same time that you did?
Yes. In fact, Tom Barton, you may have heard of, he was an All-American football player at Clemson, Blackcap Barton, as he was called back then. He was the one that I worked for, and he started within the technical college system about a month before I did, but he's a little older, had more experience, so he was the leader of the institution, and then after teaching for 4 years, I served in various roles and became the vice president of Greenville Technical College before coming to Greenwood as president.
It's pretty interesting that both of you stayed in your same prospective schools for all those years, isn't it?
Well, it really is. He was the most senior two-year college president in the country, and I think I was the second most senior, you know, once you get into this field and the mission is a wonderful mission, you feel the great contribution through the service, we just both stayed right there. It's kind of interesting. Tom Barton and I came from the same hometown, and he was about 10 years older than I was. So he played football at Clemson. I remember in high school being a Clemson fan from a small child since my older brother had gone to Clemson, sitting there on the radio listening to the Clemson ball games and couldn't wait to hear Tom Barton, or Black Cat Barton, as he was called back then, made another tackle on the football field.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that probably would have kept you going in this, too, was to be able to see the growth in the school system, starting with a total of 300 students, shall we say, to what they have today. But when you left, it was a tremendous change in the whole technical school system. So I want you to stay right here with us. I'm talking to Lex Walters. He is retired, but I tell you what, he says he's moving faster now than he was when he was working. So stay right with us on WLMA. We'll be back in just a moment.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You're here with us at Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Ella. Our special guest today is Lex Walker, a retired president of Piedmont Tech. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We were just talking about traveling. I was telling Lex about my trip up there to Washington, D.C., and showing him some of the pictures here. That was in the speaker's office. What do you think there, Lex?
Well, you look very nice there at the speaker's desk.
We kind of snuck off the beaten track and ended up in the speaker's office. We weren't really supposed to be there, but, you know, we snapped a few pictures there. Had a great time, in fact, looking at going back up there in the very near future. So you've been doing some traveling.
Yes, we have. That's one of the joys of retirement, is that when I worked at Piedmont Technical College, of course, there were a lot of people that scheduled my time, and I didn't have as much flexibility as I would like to have had on many occasions. But since retirement, the nice thing about it is that you are in charge of your own time. So we have made several trips, both within the U.S. and external to the U.S., and have really enjoyed the traveling. The breakaway from Piedmont Tech, and something that I'd wanted to do a long time, is a trip across Europe, and we did the small ship trip from the Black Sea to the Baltic.
Wow.
And about a 6-week trip, and just loved it. There's so many beautiful locations along the Danube and the Rhine rivers, and we had the opportunity to see most of them.
Wow. And, of course, I guess on that you actually stay on the ship, right?
You do. The beauty of it, I would recommend the small ship to anyone, because they have about 120 people on them, and they are made small so that they can go under the bridges along the rivers. But the beauty of it is they pull right into the center of the town, and they dock, and you can go out and tour the cathedrals or tour the museums and come back to the ship, have lunch, and then you go back out in the afternoon and visit and tour again. And they recommend all kind of different things to see at each of the locations where they stop.
Oh, and you don't have to unpack and repack. That's the beauty of staying on a ship.
Exactly. That was the beauty of it.
That's excellent. Now, also, you were telling me one of your favorite places when you went to Asia was Cambodia.
Well,
now, that's a surprise.
Well, it was. And, you know, we also went to Machu Picchu. Let me talk about Machu Picchu first, and then I'll come back to Cambodia, because there's a pair, although they're on opposite sides of the planet, in a sense, they were very familiar. But in Machu Picchu, it goes back to about the 900s to maybe about 1200 A.D. And it was the center of the Aztec Empire. And it is just absolutely amazing, the rock work that was done back then. Now, how they did it, I don't know, but they literally had huge blocks that were, the size of a car that they had moved for a mile or so, and they were so closely cut that you could not slip a piece of paper between the two blocks that were there. And the Machu Picchu is spiritual, not in a religious sense, but just the idea of all that went on there. It was the head of the Aztec empire, and it was just a wonder. In fact, my wife was afraid for, or concerned, maybe the better word, for weeks about all of the steps, because you have to go up several hundred steps to get to the top. But I kidded her and told her that that we would get her there, and we had this wonderful little guide. He said, no problem. Said, we'll 10-step it to the top.
10-step it to
she
the
said,
top?
What do you mean 10-step? He said, well, let's count them out, 1, 2, 3. So he would count out 10 steps, and then he and she would go up those 10 steps. Of course, this was a very high elevation, and the oxygen was thin. And then they would pause, and they would count out 10 more steps. They would go those 10. And so she 10-stepped it
to the top
at Machu Picchu. But then in Cambodia, I found the same thing, that we visited the temples there. Most beautiful, if you can imagine, a stone temple more than 200 feet in the air that was done back in the 900s. And again, it's still standing with the earthquakes and so forth. How they did it, I have no idea, but it is just an absolutely beautiful set of stone facilities that had been hidden in the jungle for years, and in the early 1900s they were found, and of course they excavated, and now it's just a wonder to go and visit.
I don't know if I'll ever get to retire, but I certainly enjoy the stories right here today. This is great. You were surprised, weren't you, that Cambodia was so interesting?
Well, it really was. And we also, on that trip, it was the best of Southeastern Asia. We went to China, and another really interesting, not only did we go to the palaces and Tiananmen Square and so forth, but we also went to see the Terracotta Warriors in Zion, that in a town or city named Zion, and that was absolutely amazing. They have thousands of these clay human-like
statues,
yeah, that each resemble an individual, and they're all different. They all are designed for the person that they were, I guess,
meant to replicate.
Right. But they're still there, just thousands of them, and it's,
you know,
amazing.
You can't get any idea from pictures, can you,
no,
on something like that? Because I've seen the pictures, and I'm sure once you're standing there, it's just totally different.
Well, it really is. To look down on that, and the immediate question is, how did they do that? How did they really do it?
Without machines.
I know. It was all done by hand, and they had to make them by clay, and then they fired them, much like you do a piece of pottery. And this, again, was all done 1,000 years ago.
And here we are at Piedmont Tech today. We have a pottery division right there down there in Edgefield.
And it is absolutely amazing the talent the students that are in that program have. Each year I like to go to the cells that they have, and I don't know if we have any space in our house for more pottery, but every time I go I come back with several pieces of the student work that I'm just so impressed with them that I bring them home.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling. You know, we had a call, Debbie Marks, and then it says in parentheses, Shirley. I don't know if she goes by Shirley. It says, in 1972, she was a waitress and a single mom with a baby, and she was serving you and two teachers. And y'all got in a conversation, and she says, you showed an interest in her and convinced her she wasn't doomed. She enrolled, got an associate's in accounting, and she was first hired for Michelin in 1975, and she just retired, and she says she thinks of you often. Thank you.
Isn't that I love that story. And, you know, that, as I mentioned earlier, one of the rewards of working in the system of education, especially the technical colleges, is that you have an opportunity to assist people, and there are so many students over the years that I've had a chance to talk with, and hopefully I did have a positive influence on their life.
Absolutely. And, you know, the beauty of it, it continues today. I think that's the wonderful thing. It continues today, and they just keep growing. Aren't you amazed that the growth that Piedmont Tech has been able to continue with, even with the economy and budget cuts and this type of thing?
Well, it's true, and there's so many people for looking for jobs, and now jobs require a lot more skill than they did in years gone by.
Sure.
And in many cases, the technical skills are the very type that, Piedmont offers their students. And now, if you go, I recently had a day or two at South Regional Hospital, and almost everyone came in that came in to assist me, I was proud to say, it was a Piedmont Tech graduate. And when you have a person, we did recently exchange in the air conditioning unit for our home, again, a Piedmont Technical College graduate.
Is that a prerequisite for working on your place?
not necessarily, but it makes me feel good when they say, well, I remember you were at Piedmont Tech when I was there.
That does make you feel good.
You know, kind of an interesting story. I was there so long. I was at my desk one day, and we have students that work for me, and this little girl that was out there answering the phone for me during lunch hour, I heard her say to someone, 1972, my gosh, I wasn't even born then. And I thought, 1972, I was right here in the same office.
Doing the same thing.
I told her after it was, I said, you sure did make me feel old. How did I make you feel old? I said, you said you weren't even born in 1972, and here I was at this step.
There you go. Hey, we are here with Lex Walters. He is the former president of Piedmont Technical College. You know him. You'd recognize that voice anywhere. If you've got a question or a comment you'd like to make, don't hesitate to call us, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after the news.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner, your host, Aunt Ella. Our special guest today is Lex Walker, a retired president of Piedmont Tech College. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. Lex Walters, Greenwood, Piedmont Tech, it all goes together. And, you know, a lot of people miss Lex out there, you know, and every time you do come by and see us here at Sharp Facets Gallery, there's always somebody that comes up and says something to you. And I know you have that experience a lot out there. All you have to do is hear that voice. Even if you didn't know the person, you hear that voice, you know whose voice that is.
Well, that's certainly true. And there are a lot of people that comment that they were there in a certain year, and I remember you were the president there. But I will say that the leadership team that's there now, Dr. Ray Brooks and his team are doing a great job, and I couldn't be happier with where the college continues to go beyond the leadership role that I've had there, which ended 3 years ago. But I think they've moved the college on forward and continued to grow and expand and add programs and services that are needed throughout this region of the state.
Oh, absolutely. I think we'd have to say you put the foundation there, and now they're able to continue growing it. And I think it's terrific. And I've had Ray Brooks on the show several times, and he's always energetic. And the thing I like about Ray is he doesn't say, why not? He says, let's do it. You know, he doesn't put up the roadblocks. He says, let's figure out a way and make it happen.
Well, that's true. Plus the fact that his heart is really into the job that he has, and he wants to see the students succeed, and he wants to do anything that he can do to facilitate that process.
Yes. Now, let me just bring up something. You wrote an article back in the Index Journal, I think it was back on 2/5, so first part of February, and the title is, Before Destroying It, Consider Salvaging the Civic Center for the Future. And, you know, I'm with you on this, Lex, and I just I can't really figure out why we want to do away with the Civic Center. What do you have to say about it?
Well, let me first say that I think the Civic Center is greatly needed in the area, and that's the reason I wrote that ed-op piece. Piedmont, for example, does not have a place to hold their graduation exercises, and this spring they will be going to Lander, but the building that Lander has, which is a very nice facility, doesn't seat as many people as the Civic Center will seat, and Lander has their own uses for their facility, especially during the athletic season, so it limits the availability there. The multipurpose building that Piedmont has is limited in the seating capacity. So where else do we have as a large facility that will accommodate large numbers of people? Now, in my view, the Civic Center is a nice, a sturdy structure. People always kidded me about being a frustrated potential architect because I've always enjoyed the architectural structure. I think the structure of the Civic Center is great. The facility is there. Does need some updating. I know the HVAC system needs to be replaced, and they need to do some renovations there. But with not a lot of money, that facility could be put back in place, and it can serve this community, whether it's for Piedmont Technical College graduation or for the midwinter's ball of the hospital. I understand they had to limit the number of people that participated in the midwinter's ball because of the size of the facility that was being used. Plus the fact the Civic Center brings people to Greenwood,
yes.
And we need a centerpiece that can bring people in. Now, over the years, there was complaints that it didn't pay its own way. Well, you know, the truth is that most public facilities don't pay their own way. I think over the years, we've let the Civic Center get a little behind in its repair because the money was not reinvested into it as it should have been. But to tear it down, it just kind of blows my mind to have a facility with so much potential sitting on that really beautiful location with the parking. There's not another area in Greenwood with as much public parking as the parking lot adjacent to this facility. And I think as we look to the future and as Greenwood continues to grow, there will be more and more needs for the facility. And even if we had to subsidize it in a small way, it would be an investment for the future.
You know, I agree with you. I know that you said you read that the steel could be salvaged from the Civic Center building to cover the cost of its demolition.
Well, and that's what I read somewhere. But, you know, and that's probably true because there's a lot of steel there, as I said in that a piece in the newspaper, that what is the value of that steel as it sits there now? I would bet the steel alone, if you purchased it, would run over $1 million. The concrete, with the price of concrete, would probably be millions more. So the basic structure of the building, the design, I think, is a modernistic design. We just need to find a way to renovate it and use it so that it can be a contributing entity for the people of the region.
I agree with you. And you know, when you look at a new facility versus redoing, upfitting an old facility, somehow I think it would be cheaper to upfit the old facility.
Well, you know, it will take some money to do that from some source, and maybe there's an entity within the Greenwood area that would assume the responsibility for it and invest in the facility and turn it into a contributing entity within the region. I hope that will be the case, and I hope that you know, I'm not in a position of leadership as such any longer. It's just an individual.
Well, you have a voice, right?
Voice.
Yes.
But I do think the facility can contribute to our region, and I hope a way will be found to put it back in the order that it should be so that it can provide that service.
I hope so, too. Hey, if you've got a question or a comment, go ahead and give us a call. Lex is here till 1 o'clock with me. That's 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Where do you fall on the Civic Center? Do you think it should be closed? Do you think it should just sit there? Should it be, even if we have to say put it off for right now, come back around and fix it later? What should be done with the Civic Center? I think it's a terrific facility, particularly when you look on the backside there with all the baseball and soccer fields, the tennis courts. It's just a nice complex there.
Well, the question I raised in the article was that if we do take it down, what replaces it? Whatever goes in there will have costs associated with that. You'll have the construction cost to build whatever that would go there, and then the ongoing cost to maintain what goes there. So I would bet you could take that same amount of money and make the Civic Center a first-class facility to serve the region.
Yes, I agree with you. All right, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. I'm talking to Lex Walters. We're going to be talking about some of the his other loves in the world. So when we come back, you stay right with us. We're here with Lex Walters. Hey, and if you've got a question, you got a comment, whether it's on the Civic Center or something else that he's done, just give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after this word.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
You're here with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Ella. Our special guest today is Lex Walker, retired president of Piedmont Tech. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with the one and only Lex Walters here. You know, we just we were talking about the Civic Center, and I think, Lex, we could sum it up. You'd like to see it redone, renovated, and put back out there if possible.
Right. Make it functional. And it did serve a purpose for many years, and I think in the future it can serve even a better purpose.
That's right. And we just had a call from Bill Maher, and he said the Civic Center run as a business rather than a circumscribed artistic venue could make money, turn it over to a private business. You know, I think that there's a lot of merit to that.
And I think there is the possibility of an entity within the region assuming the responsibility for it and doing the renovations that need to be and turn it into a positive venture.
Yes.
I hope something like that will be considered.
Sure. I do, too. Well, okay, we've talked about the Civic Center. It's one of my passions because I do think we need a venue here, and it bothers me to see that we haven't figured out a way to keep it going positively.
Right.
But moving on, we've had a lot of calls about it. That probably, Jeff said that, Bill, your call probably summed it up the best, and so that's why we put that one on, although there were a lot of calls along that same line. Moving on, though, Lex, it looks to me like you've lost a little weight. What's happened here? I thought when you retire, you just sit down and enjoy life and eat.
Well, that is usually what happens. In retirement, I've been about as busy as I was before, but I'm around the house a lot. And when you're around the house a lot, there's a tendency to nibble.
Yes.
And so I had gained some weight, and my wife, watching the Dr. Phil show, saw a diet there. So she and I have been on the Dr. Phil diet, and it's a 17-day diet, and then there's a second 17 days, and then a third. And
kind of like the 10 steps, right?
Right.
Okay, 17 days at a time.
And I really think the diet will be a lifelong diet when you really get right down to it, because there's so many benefits of not being heavily overweight. And so we have both lost weight, and
the how plan much weight is, have you lost?
I've lost about 25 pounds, but
wow.
I need to lose at least that much more. But we are walking a lot and exercising a lot, as well as doing a low carb diet, and it really is working. And the nice thing about it is that I haven't felt that hungry.
Surprise.
Other when I came into your place. You know, those hamburgers really smell good over at Burger King
there. Yes, it is kind of tempting, isn't it? Well, you know, I know another one of your passions is your grandchildren.
Well, I think for all grandparents, that's the case.
And you have an interesting story as a grandparent. Yours are basically adopted,
yes,
correct?
Yes, they are. In fact, and I won't make this an extended story, but my daughter worked out of the governor's office, and one of her responsibilities was to work with the adoption agencies of the state. And she visited this adoption agency in Spartanburg, and director there said, I got this most perplexing call from this orphanage in Russia. said, we have this little girl over there, said she's almost three. If she does not have a commitment for adoption by the age of three, she will go into the welfare system in Russia, which does not have a good reputation. Said, of all the children in this orphanage, this little girl, she thinks, has the most potential of any of the others, but said she's been passed over time after time because she wasn't the typical Russian child. Said her mom escaped the Taliban of Afghanistan and got into Russia as an illegal citizen and had this child and had no way to care for it. So the child was basically left at the doorsteps of the orphanage, and this orphanage director said, I've raised this child basically as my own, and I want to find a good family. Well, my daughter looked at this information, and they did have a little video clip that they sent over on the child, and she called me about 2 weeks later and said, Dad, said every time I go to sleep, said I dream about this little girl from Russia named Miriam, and she said, I've been told from the above that I'm supposed to adopt her. And I said, well, first of all, I'm not going to argue with the above. And she did say, and I need your help. So this became a family venture. My daughter went through the whole process of the adoption, and my wife and I went with her to Russia. And as fate would have it, the guy that was supposed to be our friend in Russia turned out to be a member of the mafia and tried to extort money out of the family. And I had already come back after a couple of weeks over there, and my wife and daughter stayed the entire 6 weeks that was required. But we had to get the United States Senator's office, to get the embassy involved, to get the Marines involved, to rescue my wife, daughter, and newly adopted granddaughter, to get them back on the plane to come here. But
Those are the stories you read about. Those aren't the stories you usually know about, right?
Well, really, that is just a small summary of the story. A book could be written on this. But the beauty of the whole thing is this little girl, now 14, is everything that orphanage director said. She's bright as she can be. She's in a magnet school, excelling in school. She's a great athlete. She's a good musician. She just enjoys life, and she would not have had the opportunity had my daughter not adopted her.
Wow. That just sends chills, doesn't it, when you think back over that story and the fact that that child could have ended up there, but look what's happened.
Well, the story is, in Russia, the children that go into their children's welfare system, when they get to be about 16 or 17, they're just turned out on the streets to fend for themselves, and there is no future to that. Plus, the educational system that she would have gotten there would have been minimal at best, where now she is in a quality school, getting an outstanding education, and her future is bright, where it would not have been otherwise.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, that's a tremendous story. And then, but hasn't your daughter adopted other children?
She has, from Guatemala, yes. And in fact, I'll tell this little story about 3 years ago. She called me just before Father's Day and said, Dad, I have some good news for you. And I said, what is that? She said, I've gone through the paperwork to adopt this little girl from Guatemala. And she said, I'm going to name her Lexi. Well, my given name is Lexi. In fact, my older brothers and sisters, I was the 12th child in this rural farm family, and they always said when they got down to me, they'd run out of names. So the school superintendent where I live, his name was Lexi Croxton, so they named me Lexi Walters. Well, anyway, my daughter adopted this little girl who is now, well, she turns 5 this next month. Her name is Lexi Walters.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
So there's another Lexi in this world.
Well, I know. I love seeing you when you're out on your golf cart and you've got them all piled on there driving around the community out there. It's you have a good time, don't you?
Well, one of the children is a special needs child, and he loves the golf cart. He has a genetic problem, adrenoleukodystrophy, and he's now 7. He does not talk and never will talk. But the one thing, he loves that golf cart. So when he visits, the first thing he always does is to go to the garage door and stand waiting for me to open the door to see if the golf cart is there. If it is, he knows everything is fine, and the next day he'll get to ride on the golf cart. But we have enjoyed the grandchildren, and especially the special needs child. I had never had the opportunity to work that closely with a special needs child, and I can tell you, I have great empathy and for all of those out there that have the special needs children, because they give so much of themselves and their time and their resources to assist those children that do have those great needs that otherwise would not receive the benefit.
Well, that is great. You know, yesterday I had Andy Lyle with the Miracle League mm-hmm. on yesterday, and of course it starts this Saturday.
Yes.
And, you know, I have been out there and covered that. That is such a good program for all needs of children, and it's done such great things.
You know, we're so fortunate in the greater Greenwood area to have programs that serve in so many ways, that serve the students that do have special needs, the students that have other difficulties, and I think the quality of our community is much improved because of the many agencies and organizations. Last year, I served as president of the Rotary Club, and one of the joys of that was the fact that the Rotary Club raises money through things like the Oyster Roast to go to the different agencies that provide services to the community.
Yes, I mean, we are, and we're a very giving community. Now, we don't have a lot of time left, but what do you see in the future? How do you see what's happening in the future here? I mean, we've got crisis going on everywhere.
Well, the economy is the biggest challenge I think we have, not only here in Greenwood, but all over the country. We need more jobs for people, and that's where I think Piedmont Tech can play a role. We are fortunate to have many quality employers here that came here a number of years ago, and they've grown and expanded, but somehow we need to continue the process of helping improve the economy locally, and I hope that nationally and internationally it will continue to improve so that we can get back on an even keel in this community and other communities across the state can continue to grow and prosper.
What do you think about the future? What type of jobs do you think we're going to have, Lex? I mean, you know, manufacturing is kind of gone, but what do you think the type of jobs we're going to have?
Well, I think there will always be manufacturing, and in some areas of manufacturing, I think there's still room for growth. In fact, when we were in China, we saw so much growth there. But I think you're going to see the technological jobs coming back here, growing here, and really the kind of jobs that graduates of Piedmont Technical College can fit right into. But we do need more higher-paying jobs so that individuals can contribute back to the community.
Well, I think that's true, and I think the other thing that they're saying out there is, you know, in the old days, you used to go to school, you got a degree, and then you were done.
Right.
I don't see that for the future. That's what they're saying. We may change careers 3 and 4 times futuristically.
Well, education is a lifelong process. In fact, you would be interested to know that I have been in school.
You have been in school?
Yeah, I've enrolled in a program, and it's an online type program. But the nice thing is I can sit at my computer at home and take the classes, and I hope in the future to continue to do that.
Well, that's pretty good. The former president of Piedmont Technical College is back in school. Congratulations.
There's a lot more I need to learn.
There's a lot more we all need to learn, and that's why it's been so great having you here today. Boy, an hour sure has flown today, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has, and it's been a pleasure being on the show with you.
It is always a pleasure to have you here. We'll have to have you here more often so we can keep up with what you're doing. Lex Walters, thanks so much for being with us today.
And thank you.
All right. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. We're going to have to sign off. Y'all have a nice afternoon. News is in progress. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.